Full provision.
Full.
Glory Amen. To God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Full provision. Full power.
Yes.
Full provision, full power. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what we like.
Yes.
The word is powerful.
Yeah.
And Brother Hagin used to say if you would take enough of the word long enough, take in enough of the word long enough, mm-hmm. it'll heal you. Mm. You know, it'll set you free. It'll do whatever you need it to do. The word.
Amen.
The word of God. And if you would this morning, turn with me to John chapter 1. We began a couple of weeks ago ministering on the life of God. And it just seems good to keep camping here for a little while.
Amen.
There's always more to see in His Word. There's always more to partake of. Mm-hmm. And we want it all. I want it all.
I want it all.
When it comes to the things of God, that's one particular area in which you can be greedy, meaning... I think back to when we used to help be volunteers at the Easter egg hunts. We used to do those years ago, in the community here, and we used to, as a church, volunteer to help assist with these Easter egg hunts. And they'd divide them out by different age groups, and they'd have a little rope around the area, and they'd have all the eggs in there. You know, especially for the young ones. And they divide them out, so you might be with the 2-year-olds or the 3-year-olds, and you had to keep everybody at bay, you know, keep them out of the ropes until it was time, whatever they did. I don't remember if the whistle blew or whatever, and you allowed all the kids to come in at the same time, and they could pick up as many eggs as they could get a hold of. Well, some kids, man, they just went after it. They pushed everybody out of the way, didn't care if they, you know, knocked other kids over, you know. And then you had other ones who were like, no, be sweet, be gentle, be careful. And then the other ones, they'd just look. They'd get so overwhelmed that they just stare. And they, like, wouldn't even bend down to pick one up. And while other kids are just boom, 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 you know, going after it. And you always felt bad for those that are just stood there shell-shocked, like, or they'd get one and they'd just stare at it. And they'd just keep looking at it, and they'd show their mom and dad, look, you know, and they'd walk away. Well, you know, we try to train our kids, you know, to be excited about whatever, you know, they get and not be upset that somebody else. But when it comes to the things of God,
yeah.
Go for all of it.
Yes.
Yes. Don't be concerned about the other people that are around you. Yeah. Just get everything in your basket that you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And trust me, everybody who has that attitude will receive what God has for them. But if you just pick up one thing and stare at it and don't ever go for more, that's all you'll ever have is that one thing. I mean, yeah, I was saved. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's my egg. I was saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm so thankful. Well, you can walk around all life with that egg and be thankful for it. And you should be thankful for it. I'm thankful that I'm saved and going to heaven. But there is so much more for us to receive and to partake of. And so John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, in Jesus, the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. In Jesus was life, or we might say is life. Mm-hmm. And the life is the light of men. Jesus, the life that's in him, the Zoe, if you remember that word, yes. Z-O-E, that the Zoe that was in him became our light, became our life. Yeah. Praise God. In Jesus was life, and the life, the Zoe, was the light of men. Mm-hmm. Let's look over at John chapter 5. Just going to look at these verses that we looked at a couple weeks ago to remind ourselves where we're at. John chapter 5, verse 26 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." Mm-hmm. So the Father has this life, this Zoe, and he has given it to the Son. Now the Son has this life. Mm-hmm. And then if we flip over to John chapter 10, thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So the Father has Zoe, the life of God, this amazing life. And the Father gave it to Jesus. Jesus has this life. And he came to this earth as flesh, and he was the light of men. He came to this earth, he says here in John 10, he came so that we might have some of that life, that we might partake of that life, and not just have a little bit of it, but that we might have it in abundance. So according to Jesus, there's different measures of this life that we can partake of. Different amounts of eggs that we can fill our basket with, right? And we don't want to just stop with one or two, but we want to fill our whole life. We want to fill our whole life with his life.
Yes.
Yeah. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly. Have it abundantly. The Amplified says, have it in abundance,
yes,
to the full,
yay,
till it overflows.
Amen.
So this life of God that has been provided through Jesus comes in degrees, comes in measures. The moment we get born again, we have life everlasting that comes on the inside of us.
Yes.
We have passed from death to life. We have, yes, been made a new creation, a new,
yes,
creature in, amen, Christ Jesus. And the life of God comes to dwell and live on the inside of us. But if we're not careful, or if we're not aware, if we just go about our natural lives, there's a whole bunch of Christians out there who received Christ, got born again, and then went out and about and started living their natural life. Maybe they went to church for a few months. Maybe they went for a year. Maybe they went for a couple of years, but then they decided, well, I've got this thing down. I've learned everything I need to learn from the pastor. So now I can just go out and live my life. And thank God when I die, I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm going to go to heaven. Well, you can live that way, but that's not why Jesus came.
Right.
Amen.
That's not what he,
amen,
came and died for. That's not,
amen,
what he provided for us. He provided for us to live this life in abundance,
yes,
to the full, till it overflows.
Yes.
And so we need to know about this life, what this life does, what it looks like, what it can provide for us, and how to access more and more and more and more and more and more of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Zoe, the God kind of life, the life of God. If you look up that Greek word, the first definition just means the absolute fullness of life. The absolute fullness. The absolute fullness of life. I mean life to the max. Life at its best.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now the world would think that that means that you've got all the money in the bank that you would ever need. You've got, you know, you've got everybody in your life is healthy and you've got your relationships are all strong. And you would think that that means, you know, you've got the best job you could ever have. In other words, everything in the natural circumstance wise looks good. For the world to enjoy their life, they have to have favorable circumstances. But Jesus also told us that in the world we're going to have trials, we're going to have trouble, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be problems. So this type of life, the God life, it can't mean that just everything's going to go hunky-dory for you and everything's going to look great all the time. Because Jesus also told us that things aren't always going to look good. That there's going to be problems in the world. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials. There's going to be vexation. There's going to be problems. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thanks, Jesus. That's great. Oh, we're so excited about that. So how do we walk around partaking of this abundant life if there's problems? Absolute fullness of life. We are authorized to walk around enjoying absolute fullness of God life.
Yes. Amen.
No matter what things look like.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. We are authorized to wake up in the morning and say, bless God, it's a great day. Even if you look on your calendar and realize, oh, there are 6 business meetings that I don't want to go to. There are 3 people I have to meet with that I don't want to deal with,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
But we are authorized to partake of a different kind of life that isn't based on what we see or what we feel or what it looks like in the natural. Amen. Absolute fullness of life belongs to us if we'll tap into it, if we'll partake of it.
Yeah, amen.
The other definition of Zoe just means real and genuine life. A life that's active and vigorous, devoted to God. And it mentions in this, it's a real and genuine life in this world of those who put their trust in Christ. And after the resurrection, we are to be added onto. In other words, we get a perfect body after the resurrection, right? We get even more of God's benefits and life after the resurrection, after we ascend, after it, whether, you know, if Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and we all meet him in the air, I'm all for that. Praise God. Yes. There's going to be even more life added to us at that point.
Yes.
But that's not the only adding of the life of God.
Right.
But we are to partake of it here in this life.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy Zoe. Here,
yes.
Here. So there is great life to be enjoyed, to be encountered, to be partaken of.
Yeah.
And we are to be able to partake of that here.
Yes.
Now.
Amen.
Not 10 years from now. Not 50 years from now, not after we've, you know, gone into retirement. No. We can partake of God life now.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Real life. Real good.
Yes.
Right now.
Right now.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this life that Jesus paid for, that Jesus provided when he died on the cross, we receive this life when we get born again.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We receive of it. The moment we get born again, we receive it. We get another dose or another measure of his ability when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes.
Now we've got life within and power upon.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
And Jesus mentioned this in John chapter 7. And I'd like to look at that this morning. John chapter 7. Ha, thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And then he says, whoever believes in me, or we would say whoever gets born again, right? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, King James says belly, which just means your inner man, right? Out of our inner man is going to flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Now that living, that word living, is the verb of zoe, zoe, zao instead of zoe. It's the verb. I mean the active movement, right? And we see that very much, the active movement, life water. there is living water. There is the life of God flowing out of us. How does God's life, it comes in us when we're born again, but how does it move? It flows. It flows from the inside out.
Amen. Yeah.
The life of God is in us.
Yes.
It's in me.
Yes.
And when I need it, I've got to look to the right place for it. So many people, they get in situations and they think, oh God, give me strength. Oh God, help me with this. Which I understand those prayers. We've all said them, you know. But really, God's already provided what we need in us.
Yes, he has.
Amen.
When
Amen.
Symptoms come to our bodies, our natural physical bodies, when symptoms come, we don't look up to the Lord who's, you know, and think of him as being so far away in heaven and say, oh God, send some healing. Please help. Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of people pray. But we've got to realize that he's already provided his healing life.
Yes, he has.
Right.
In us. So it's not really reaching up to try and grab something that he has way far away. It's actually reaching within.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, for the healing power of God that already dwells in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And thank you that it flows out of my spirit and affects my body.
Amen.
It touches my mind. It reaches into my organs and causes them to function correctly.
Amen.
It flushes out, that life flushes out my kidneys when they try to bother me. That life causes my heart to pump correctly, and it causes the arteries to stay clear and strong. That life of God moves through my body and delivers every bit of oxygen that my muscles need. That life of God strengthens my feet and my hands for the work it needs to do today. That life of God goes to my brain and causes and helps me to think correctly.
Think clearly, Amen. Amen.
The life of God in us, my goodness, it's more than just a basket of eggs.
Amen.
But how many just stop at one or two things and say, oh, isn't that great? John G. Lake, he was so well-versed in these types of subjects, this life that lived and coursed through the Christian's body. Mm-hmm. And he would try to assist and help others to see that the life of God can be accessed anytime they need it.
Yes.
And he ministered along these lines one time to a group of believers. And afterwards, this elderly woman came up to him and said, you know, I need help. I have, and started listing off everything that was ailing her, you know, all these different problems that she had. And he said, you know, he said, sit down here, mother. And he just sat with her and started talking. And he started just going over some of these scriptures and how the life of God's in us. And that life has power. Mm-hmm. And that life has healing. And he started going over these things with her. And she said, I see it. I see it. And she said, just lay hands on me and I'll be healed. And he looked at her and said, no. Said, I can lay hands on you. Said, but then you're always going to need to come to me to receive. Said, I want you to see that it's already in you. And that you can draw on it yourself.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. The life of God. The healing of God. The power of God.
Yes.
In the believer.
Amen.
And so he started leading her in praise and worship and started to quote some of these verses and started to say, and that's why last week we kind of talked about how scripture can burn within us when we get a hold of these things. And we need to grab hold of that. And when a scripture comes up to us, we need to chew on that. We need to meditate. We need to keep that in front of us. Why? Because God's trying to help draw the life of God out of us into the areas of our life that need it. And so this word becomes life to us. Praise God. And that life affects our lives.
Yes.
It flows out of our inner man and it affects that which is troublesome in our life.
Yes.
And so this dear woman, she started just following his lead and quoting some scriptures and praising God and started to thank him for the life of God that flows in my body. The life of God that affects my eyes and helps me to see. That life of God that affects my hearing and whatever else it was, her rheumatism, her this or that, because she had a good list, right? And she got up from that place after just, I don't know how long, maybe 10, 15 minutes. She got up from that chair completely well.
Wow.
Completely whole.
Yeah.
Completely set free from every single thing on her list.
Amen.
Why? Because she allowed what was in her to be released into her mortal physical body. Yeah. Let's look in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8. Zoe, the life of God, dwells in me. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 11. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay, does the Spirit dwell in you?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Yes.
If the Spirit of Him, wait a minute, that same Holy Spirit that dwells in you raised Jesus from the dead? Yes. That same Spirit, the same Zoe, the same life of God that dwells in you raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. That same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your spiritual bodies. That same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal
bodies.
Yes.
To your mortal. What's mortal?
Subject to decay.
Subject to decay.
Yes. Amen.
The one that's going to expire eventually. Yes. This body. This one that we are going to turn in at the resurrection of the dead and say, thank you for the new one. The new and improved version. Yes. Right? Yes. Right? The better model. This mortal body, the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same resurrection power dwells in you, and it will affect your mortal bodies.
Amen.
It affects my physical being. That life, the life of God that's in me, that's in you, it's meant to affect us.
Yes.
It's meant to change us. It's meant to empower our mortal bodies.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Now, I understand. What is it tomorrow, my birthday? Tomorrow's my birthday. That means another year. I mean, they just keep coming. The number keeps getting bigger. It's just the way it is. And I understand. I do not look the same today as I did when I was 6 years old, right? Things are going to change. Things are going to look different.
Yes.
Things are going to progress in this natural life. But it doesn't mean, just because we're getting older on a calendar from a calendar standpoint, does not mean that we have to be subject to the same decay and same degenerative process that the rest of the world deals with.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yes, we're getting older chronologically according to the calendar, but I can be strengthened with might. I can get stronger and stronger on my inner man.
Yes.
And that strength inside me will start to ooze out, and it can't help but start to touch and affect my outer man.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same one, the same resurrection power that not only raised Jesus from the dead, but found Jesus in hell. Right? He was not mostly dead. He was all dead.
Okay.
Right? Really, really dead.
Yes.
Really dead. And the Spirit of God raised him. Praise God.
Amen.
That Spirit dwells in us, lives in us, and is sitting there. If we don't access it, it's just sitting there. Like a nuclear reactor that hasn't been harnessed. And isn't in use. So much power available to us. So much power made available to us. Glory to God. Oh, where should we go here? There's a couple different places we could go. But I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4, I think. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16 says this. So we do not lose heart.
Amen.
Though our outer self our mortal man is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day.
Yes.
For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are not are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I just wanted us to see in verse 16, we don't lose heart.
We don't lose heart.
Though the outer man, our body, it will, I mean, hair is going to get gray eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go to the hairdresser every few months, and I do. But, you know, eventually, the body is going to show signs of age.
Yeah.
But that does not mean we have to accept all of the afflictions, the troubles that come to people as they get older. The degenerative process, the degeneration of the physical flesh that comes as we age. You understand, people used to live to 120, like, no problem.
Yeah.
Even older than that.
Yeah.
Early on. So it's not that our bodies aren't physically capable of living a long time, right? It's that the decay of this world, the curse of sin upon this world, has affected human mortal bodies. But the Christian, but the Christ man, the one who has God living on the inside of them,
yeah,
that person is a different, you've got different DNA now. You've got, you're a different makeup. You are a different composition, if you will. You've got the life of God. You've got a nuclear reactor on the inside of you that is just waiting for you to release that power into your mortal body. Glory to God. How do we do that? With our words. With our words. We give thanks. We use the scriptures. We thank God every day that the life of God is affecting our mortal bodies. And he said, even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed. Renewed day by day. How? We've got that life of God in us every day. Tap into it. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to take the time to meditate on these scriptures and thank God for the life of God that's in us. Thank you, Father, that every day I'm being renewed. Every day my inner man is strengthened with might. Every day that might, that power strengthens my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me.
Yeah.
And if you dwell in me, then you're affecting my mortal body today. Glory to God. So I don't have to deal with pain today because the life of God supersedes that pain. The life of God takes care of that pain. The life of God drives out sickness and disease. Glory to God. You understand, it's better than ibuprofen. Praise the Lord. It's better than Tylenol or whatever else you might take for aches and pains. The Word of God on the inside of us, in the life, the power of God, it is designed to be released.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. It's just waiting for us to access.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. The outer self, yeah, it's there, but it can look and feel better day by day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The more we learn to partake of the life of God.
Yeah.
I'm really preaching this to me. You all just get to praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This Zoe, this life of God, it does so much. It's provided so much for us. It allows us to be with God eternally. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's made us pass from death to life. Praise God. And that is one of the primary things this Zoe life does for us. But one thing we have to stir ourselves up and remember is that it is meant to affect our mortal bodies.
Yes.
It is meant to affect our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. It's meant to affect every part of our life.
Amen.
Brother Hagin used to tell this story of this gal who was 18 years old and was in one of his congregations. Ollie was her name, and she went to the first grade at age 6 or 7 when they would go. That's when school started back then. This was like 1930s. And she went to first grade at age 7, and she stayed in first grade for 7 years. Just mentally. I mean, she never could write her name. She never learned to read. And after 7 years of being in the first grade, they asked her to just pull out of school because they didn't have special education schools or anything like that at that point. And so when Brother Hagin got to this church to pastor, Ollie was 18 years old. So she was in first grade from age seven to 14. And then she had been out of school for 4 years and just at home with her mom. And she really, Brother Hagin said, she had the mentality of like a five, six-year-old. She just had never developed and grown. And he said, you know, if Ollie happened to not be sitting with her mama during a service and she wanted to get to her mom, instead of just getting up and walking, because her mom always sat in the front, instead of just getting up and walking, he said she would get down on her belly and swim under the pews, crawl under the pews to get to her, just like a four-year-old would, you know? Just in the, and said, you know, if she didn't do that, she's 18 years old, said she'd stand up on the pew and she'd pull her skirt up and walk over, you know, an 18-year-old, she just pulls her skirt up and hops over all the pews to get to her mama. And he said, you know, the whole congregation was used to it. That was just Ollie. So, you know, they didn't think anything. So, but she said, if you had a visitor come, they were like, somebody stop that girl. What's she doing? And he said, one day they were having an evangelistic service and several people had come forward to get born again and said, Ollie came forward and knelt down and received the Lord.
Mm.
He said the next Sunday, she came in dressed beautifully, hair combed, completely changed because the life of God came in her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he said, as she went, she was 18 at this time. She eventually got married, and her husband was just a farmer kid down the street. He didn't have much. He had like a fifth grade education, didn't get much farther than Ollie did, but he went away to war, and while he was away at war, said Ollie saved all the per diem that she got, all the money she had gotten. She saved because she was living with her mom while her husband was away, said she saved. And when he got back from the war, they invested it in a business and started running this construction business.
Wow.
And said he was actually, the husband was killed after they had 3 kids. The husband was killed in an accident on the construction site. So because of the insurance, she got this huge insurance settlement because of it, and she winds up taking the business and running this massive construction business.
Wow.
And when Brother Hagin said, of course, he had moved away at this point, he came back into town and went to visit the church secretary and said, you know, how's Ollie doing? You know, tell me how, you know, it's just asking about different ones. And the secretary said, come with me. And took her out to the front of the church. And he said, you see that whole subdivision, that whole neighborhood going up? He said, Ollie owns that. She's doing that. She's developing the whole thing. She's her own contractor. She's her own business. I mean, she runs the whole thing. She works with the city and helps develop what? The life of God.
Yeah.
The life of God. Now, he said she had a sister who never tapped into that life, who is mentally, she was, I want to say, he said she was one of the valedictorians or the top of the class, of her class, but she never developed and moved forward in the things of God. And so she lived a life where she never had enough money. She never, you know, she was never able to get further in her things. You know, her marriage didn't go well and all this type of thing. But what Ollie, because she knew where she came from, she knew what God had done for her.
Yes.
She never left it. She tapped into it and she stayed there. Said she was always in the front row of that church every Sunday. Her kids were always with her. She always raised them in the things of God. And she always tapped into the life of God that transformed her life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
This life of God is, I just keep coming back to, it's this nuclear reactor waiting to be tapped into, waiting to be harnessed.
Yes.
And used. And I'm just determined to use it more, to let it affect my mentality, affect my body, affect my abilities to operate in this natural realm with the life of God touching everything that I do and that I act on. Glory to God. He makes everything better.
Yes, he does.
Amen. He'll make our bodies work better. Yes. He'll make our minds function sharper. He'll make everything we touch in our business flourish and grow because the life of God. But we have to let it out from where it is.
Yes.
And allow it to affect that which is around us. It doesn't just, oh God, please help. Oh God, please touch it. Oh God, please do something.
That's right.
And I'm not discounting prayer. You understand. We pray. But we pray to align ourselves and access that which is already on the inside of us. And can we just look at 2 Peter and then I'll let you guys go. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1.
Thank you.
2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. You guys know it. 2 Peter 1 chapter 1 verse 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life, Zoe, that's Zoe right
yes.
there, that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to this Zoe that lives on the inside of you. And to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of this divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We are to become partakers of this divine nature. How? By tapping into Zoe, by tapping into this life that's already on the inside of us, by learning how to let it out and affect every bit of our lives. Praise God. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to Zoe and godliness through the knowledge of him. He's called us. Praise God. We're going to tap into it. We're going to access it. We're going to let it flow through our spirit, to our mind, to our body, affect those around us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is so much the life of God will do.
Yes. Amen.
Let's gather all the eggs. Let's take it all in. Let's not let anything to the side that God's provided for us.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Something else you wanted to read? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for the divine power. Thank you so much for the power that lives on the inside of us, the life of God that you've given to us. Lord, help us to see it, to know it, to access it in a greater measure. Father, thank you for leading us and guiding us. Praise God to allow that life to affect our natural lives.
Yes.
We're grateful for it today.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.